listening to Miller and Moulton, exclusively on the Florida Sports Network. And now, here's Mark Miller and David Moulton.
Hour number two of Miller and Moulton on this Tuesday. Thanks so much for being with us. The Florida Sports Network, floridasportsnetwork.com. Ron Cyrak in about 40 minutes to talk about the PGA Championship and some of the issues that are hanging over the golf world. We'll check in on the two playoff series in our 8 o'clock hour getting underway tonight. Panthers Lightning and the Heat Celtics. Game one of a hockey semifinal and a basketball conference final. NBA draft lottery is tonight. And of course, it's a full night of Major League Baseball. Speaking of baseball, you know, we've had some fun at the Cincinnati Reds' expense.
Where are you going to go?
When they lost 20 of 21 after their president and COO said to the fan base,
where are you going to go?
And we've had some fun with the Oakland A's home attendance, which has been dreadful. And this is intentional by the fans. The fans are angry. One, they're angry that the owner is seriously considering moving to Las Vegas. But they're also angry because the A's have been a pretty good team the last few years, and they were right there.
Again.
And he sold off four of their five best players. And the fans are fed up. They're like, you know what? We're not going to spend money. You're not spending money on the product. We're not going to spend money on the product. Deal. So 3,138 people showed up last night. But apparently there are almost as many rodents in the stadium as there are fans. Dick Bremer does Twins games on television. During the broadcast, he let everybody know that a possum was in their broadcast booth.
A possum.
A possum. That was the nicest creature that was talked about by the media yesterday at the Oakland Alameda Coliseum. Because, Mark, did you see the picture that came from the press box?
I did. Matt Kawahara, who was a beat writer for the A's, tweeted out a picture of a rat gnawing its way into the broadcast booth through the ceiling tiles.
Right. A healthy-sized rat, by the way.
Not small, thick. Looks like he's been enjoying the concessions at the Oakland Alameda Coliseum for a while, David.
Yes, actually, the rat, and maybe it's just the way the rat had to contort itself to get through the ceiling and into the press box, but the rat, ladies and gentlemen, think a sea otter with fur.
My favorite part is right away when I looked at the tweet, the first response that I saw on the tweet was from Amy Trask, who used to work for the Oakland Raiders. Who tweeted back to him, he or she is adorable. Be nice, Matt. Give him or her a snack. And hi. All I can imagine is that I've broadcasted many a game from a dump, David. Huntington, West Virginia, Knoxville, Tennessee, some bad hockey buildings. I did minor league hockey play-by-play for over a decade. You name the bad city in the Southeast, there's a good chance that I worked that building. But if I were doing a game, David, and a rat started gnawing its way through the ceiling tiles, I would no longer be watching hockey. I would be doing play-by-play of said rat crawling through.
Would you be doing this hoping that someone is listening and could send help to get rid of the rat?
That's all I would be doing the broadcast for. I would be screaming at off-ice officials, at ushers, at anyone to get the damn... I would be losing my mind. I can't even imagine me in my 30s seeing this. Like right now, I think I could deal a little better because I think I'm a calmer person than I used to be. But you know what Miller in his 30s was like.
Right, 32-year-old Mark Miller.
I'd be cursing the building. I'd be cursing the rat. I'd be cursing everybody. And I'd be scared to death.
I was going to say, don't curse the rat. All right, come on now. What'd the rat do?
Broke into my booth. That's my territory. I got that little 4x4 area for 3 hours, David. That's all I want.
I'm just wondering, would you have done the play-by-play the way Brenneman issued the apology? Would you be talking incessantly about the rat, and all of a sudden you'd turn, you'd look, there'd be a goal, and you'd be going, and the rat is gnawing its way through the ceiling, and there's a slapper from the point and a goal, and it's 4-0. Now back to the rat.
100%. There is no way my eyes would be anywhere but on that rat in the booth. I would be terrified. You've talked about you don't like snakes.
Right.
A rat in the booth would just about do it for me. I mean, I've been down in Florida long enough where I can deal with the palmetto bugs and the cockroaches and all that stuff, and they don't weird me out the way they did. You know, when you first move here, David, and you throw on the lights and you see one of those suckers that's the right size of your hand, and you go, oh, my God! Now you see it and you go, oh, palmetto bug. Rats are different. They're just dirtier to me.
Well, they are. And I would, two things I immediately thought of. That one, the rat is probably a little more scared of me than I am of it. But I would be looking for, is there a place for the rat to exit? Like, it would really bother me if the rat has now gnawed its way in through the ceiling, but the door to the booth is closed. I need to, that would be what I'd be thinking of. Hey, listen, I don't mind you being here, but you need an exit. You know, you're in the movie theater. Everybody needs to know where the exits are.
I'm thinking of turning and doing the game and the rat running over my foot or something like that. I mean, well, I'm getting weirded out just thinking about this right now.
Well, Mark, you would have had to suck it up. Your feet would have had to have been on the floor, if for no other reason than to take a couple of steps, probably towards the rat, but the door behind you. You've got to prop open the door. Remember, you now want to sick the rat on everyone else.
I'm thinking of some of the bad booths that I was in calling games. I would be standing on a table right now. I would be the woman in a Tom and Jerry cartoon.
You do know the rat can climb up on the table just as easily as it came through the ceiling.
I'm aware, David, but at this point, I do not want to be anywhere where I think the rat can come in contact with me, and I feel that I would be safer where he's got to climb and I can jump. And I mean, and by jump, David, I mean into the crowd. I don't mean back into the booth. I mean crowd surf away from everybody.
Were you one that kept food with you in the booth?
Really?
I'm just asking.
What do you think?
I'm just asking. Well, but here's the thing. Oftentimes food, you can choke on it. It's salty. It makes you want to drink more. So while you and I are clearly hungry while working, but food is not always the best thing for you.
Actually, for the most part, no, but I was probably down in Diet Cokes the way John Daly did. There's a chance there could be spillage, which is sweetness. I mean, there are so many things that could go wrong with me and this rat right now. And none of them work for me.
See, I'm thinking that, and I never did minor league hockey, but I'm thinking up in a booth, you have to grab your food before the pregame. See, when you're courtside doing basketball or what have you, you can get people to run and get you something. I'm guessing you were more alone, and so you had to bring whatever food and drink you could at the very beginning and then space it out over 3 hours.
No, and mostly so, hockey was a pregame meal. You know, there was a press meal. So typically there wasn't food in the booth.
Because I'm thinking I would have been feeding it popcorn. That's what I envision. I'd be there with a thing of popcorn that I'd be nursing throughout the broadcast during commercial breaks. And now it'd be like, oh, okay. So I would be throwing the popcorn out, hopefully through the door into the hallway, trying to get the rat to go follow the popcorn.
You trying to find your way back home with a popcorn trail there? Is that what's going on here?
Right. Well, I mean, that's all I got, Mark. I mean, either that or it's stand on the chairs and do the game. Why are you standing on the chairs? There's a rat the size of a water buffalo in the booth.
And if you can't fit a set of headsets on the rat to get his observations, where the hell are you going to go?
Right. I mean, no offense. I just watched the Derby. They couldn't interview the horse. I can't do anything with the rat. So it's, try to find the picture, ladies and gentlemen. It's something. Imagine that coming through the ceiling of the room that you're in working.
No.
Remember, this is the stadium in which the toilets routinely back up. There is sewage in the locker rooms of both the home and the road team. This is a common occurrence at least twice a year in this stadium. And there are numerous rodents, animals, whatever you want to call them, that are running around this stadium.
I mean, the fact they had a possum in the booth should explain it all.
Listen, I'd much rather have a possum in the booth than a rat.
They're nasty, though. You don't want that possum turns on you can do a lot more damage than that rat.
You think so?
I know so.
Well, there's another poll question right there.
That might, you know what? I've got one up already, but I may scratch the poll question.
Well, I'd say we leave it. Throw another one up.
Rat or possum?
Yeah. Which would you rather be cornered in a booth by? You're broadcasting a game. Which animal at the Oakland Alameda Coliseum would you rather be cornered by? A rat, a possum?
This is just a horrible situation overall.
You're darn right it is.
Yes.
There's no winner in this one.
It really isn't.
No, this is truly the one situation in which the team can say, hey, we've got our faults, but we really do need a new place to play.
Miller, Moulton, Felipe, a possum, a rat, a golf tournament, a text line. We've got just about everything there is for you. Ron Syrak coming up in around 20 or so minutes. We thank you so much for listening to Miller and Moulton right here on the aforementioned Florida Sports Network.
Thanks for listening. And now, more of Miller and Moulton on the Florida Sports Network.
Past the hour, Miller and Moulton, the Florida Sports Network. Ron Syrak will join us in a little less than 20 minutes. PGA Championship getting underway Thursday at Southern Hills in Tulsa. We'll look ahead to Panthers Lightning and Heat Celtics with Eduardo Encina and Keith Smith joining us next hour. We had a poll question. I believe we're keeping it. We're just adding to it, correct?
Yeah, we keep the whole, you know, Heat, Celtics, whatever. Right. Do what you want to do with that.
Right. For the record, Heat fans, you should feel very good. I think both Miller and Moulton picked the Celtics.
Yeah, and I'm getting people angry with me about it. I'm getting Jimmy Butler memes coming at me for my pick of the Celtics in six. But that's all right.
You should be happy. Usually when Miller and Moulton agree, we're wrong. So
I'm not an NBA heater, David.
You are, though. You are.
But the rat-possum dispute has jumped it to a whole new level.
Apparently, it's taken over the show.
What would you rather be? What would scare you more if you were cornered by a rat or cornered by a possum? And on the surface, you might think, possum, they sleep all the time. But they will claw your eyes out. I am much more worried about the possum than I am the rat. As the texter says, David, that possum will F you up.
Damn. But the possum looks so cuddly. Where the rat's just filthy. Ugh.
Right, possums eat rats. That's the one thing we got on our side with the possum. So possum versus the rat, the possum's going to win every time.
Well, but they have to be in the same place. You know, our understanding is the possum was in the Twins broadcast booth in the Oakland Alameda Coliseum, while the rat was in the press box
right.
for the writers.
In the general press box, exactly.
Right. Right. Gnawing its way from the ceiling, by the way.
Yeah!
Through the ceiling, and then was going to shimmy down the wall. Right. And by the way, the size of that rat, all right, in New York City, the rats are going, damn, look at that fella.
What's the dirtiest building you ever worked? And you've now worked a ton between a lot of minor league work, a lot of college work, and now you've worked a boatload of professional games. What's the dirtiest? Is it? I mean, you've been to Oakland, so
it might be the Oakland Coliseum. I mean, it really might. I've got to think about this. It's going to have to think back to my early days and some of the barns like you've talked about being in. But in the put it this way, this century, it ain't close. It's the Oakland Coliseum. It is just, this is how bad it was. I wouldn't eat in the cafeteria. Me.
All right, Felipe, I just want to let you know, you're big on sounds and everything. We need a breaking news sounder. And if you ever hear Moulton say, I didn't eat in the cafeteria, then you play that sounder immediately.
Yeah, that's nuts.
Wow.
That's how dirty. And not only that, it had room for about 9 people. I mean, it was an NFL game. I mean, not a USFL game. It was an NFL game. There's more than 9 working members of the media in one space at a time. Yes. And they just had, they just threw the food out there too. Kind of like, here, come and get it. It could have been a scene out of a campfire.
Is there anything close to that in the NFL?
Oh, no. No.
Is there anything close to that in the SEC?
Mm-mm. No.
So in order to get to the Oakland Alameda Coliseum, you've got to go minor league, basically.
Mark, I did a high school football game from a boiler room underneath the stadium, and it was better than the Oakland Coliseum. A boiler room in which I couldn't see the entire field.
But that's where the phone line was, right?
Correct. I could only see in between the 20s. I had to make it up between the 20s and the end zone.
That's a broadcast right there.
There you go. High school football, baby. Playoffs. We had that sucker sold out.
Just needed a longer cord.
Yep. Yep. Need a bigger window. That's what we needed, a bigger window.
Mm-hmm.
Press box didn't work. Had to find the working phone line. The only one was in the boiler room. 2 things would happen during the game, Mark. A, the boiler would kick in. 3rd and 5 from the 27. I formation, exactly. I mean, you could go damn near a series before that sucker's done.
What?
This is what's happened.
Right. So, possum or rat, which would scare you more? I answered rat. You're trying to convince me I am dead wrong.
You are wrong. I mean, put it this way. Who was the hockey player for the Panthers that killed the rat before the game and thus dubbing the and then scored a goal, which gave him the rat trick? And forever, the plastic rats were born at the Miami Arena that have now moved to Sunrise for the Battle of the Sunshine State. We will see rats tonight should the Florida Panthers score a goal. The fans aren't afraid of them. No, I mean, they find them cute. They're endearing in South Florida. Not throwing possums onto the ice.
Scott Mellenby killed the rat in the locker room prior to the team's home opener, scored 2 goals with the stick that he killed the rat with. John Van Beesbrook referred to it as the rat trick, and it was on.
Now, they've bulldozed that building, right? I mean, the Miami Arena doesn't even exist anymore.
Felipe, is that right?
Yeah, they tore it down.
Okay.
Oakland still thriving. Possums, rats, and whatever else is in there.
Right.
I mean, that it does beg the question, what else is in that building?
Oh.
Probably 100 feral cats in that building. Because if one rat's crawling through the ceiling tiles, you know there are thousands upon thousands of rats in the bowels of that building.
Right. He's just taking the lead. They're all waiting back to get word. He's going to shimmy back in a couple minutes and go, I found an opening. Let's go.
I can get way better seats for the game. There's no one here.
Guys, there's meat. Follow me.
So you're cornered in a press box. What would you rather be cornered by, a possum or a rat? What would scare you more? I say the possum. David says the rat.
There you go. The other poll question, whatever. Eastern Conference Finals, Heat Celtics. Yeah, whatever.
We both picked the Celtics for what it's worth.
Right. So, you know, that means Heat in seven. Felipe should be happy as heck. Miller and Moulton agreed on the Celtics.
Actually should be. He doesn't realize that the double call usually does not bode well for Miller and Moulton in these things.
Ron Syrak's going to join us here coming up in about 10 minutes' time. You know, we did a big deal about the Masters concessions and how they're just the best. That what they could charge versus what they do charge. Have you seen what the PGA of America's charging?
I believe it's six times higher for a beer at the PGA than it is at the Masters. Six
Correct,
times.
Mark. Right. Well, you know, it's a more prestigious event.
The $3 Masters beer is $18 at the PGA. $18 for a 16-ounce Mick Ultra. Wow.
In a can. $19 for a Stella. Wine is a bargain. It's just $13, Mark.
Probably getting about 4 ounces.
$6 for an Aquafina. The Aquafina at the PGA is more expensive than anything they sell at the Masters.
Southern Hills should do pretty well this week.
Unbelievable. But it's all for the kids. Youth golf.
501-3C, you know, David.
Right. First tee. Right. Mm-hmm. Sure. Miller and Moulton. But Phil's the bad guy, right? Ron Syrak coming up next. Florida Sports Network.
You're listening to Miller and Moulton. Exclusively on the Florida Sports Network.
22 minutes before the hour, Miller and Moulton, the Florida Sports Network, floridasportsnetwork.com. That's where you go to sign up for our golf tournament 3 weeks from Saturday, June 11th, West Bay in Estero. Proceeds to benefit Folds of Honor. Like to thank the good folks at Budweiser, Southwest Florida Golf Carts. Find out more information about them at flgolfcarts.com and Twin Peaks. A good time to have by all. Great track. Good food. Give you a nice shirt. Some camaraderie. And to thank you for listening to us, Miller and Moulton, here on the Florida Sports Network. We'd like to thank Ron Syrak for joining us once again. Great writer who contributes to the Golf Channel. You can follow Ron on Twitter at Ron Syrak, S-I-R-A-K. Ron, it's David and Mark once again. Hope you've been well. How are you?
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for having me on again. Always a pleasure.
Well, Ron, what is your biggest question heading into this PGA?
Well, the most obvious thing is how many questions are going to be asked about Phil Mickelson this week, somebody who's not even there. But the other question has got to be what we're going to see from Tiger, because all the reports that I'm hearing is he's looking really good and he's looking stronger and in better condition than he was at the Masters. So it'd be interesting to see how much he has in his tank and what he's got. As for the other players out there, we're still waiting for somebody to take control of the year. Scotty Scheffler has made every effort to do that. But I think we're going to see it's going to be a good battle this week. There's at least a dozen players who have a good chance to win.
Ron, historically, what Tiger has all but said he's going to be for the rest of his career, which is pretty much the majors, maybe show up at the Players, the Memorial. I mean, Tiger's probably going to play 8 tournaments a year. Historically, and he's now going to try to do this in his mid to late 40s going forward. Is this Hogan and no one else? I mean, who was an elite player who had to reduce their schedule at this age to this and try to still win?
Yeah, the only person who's cut their schedule back that this dramatically is Ben Hogan. I went back and looked those numbers up. Hogan had, in 46, 47, and 48, he won double-digit tournaments all three. He won 33 tournaments in 3 years. He won double-digit tournaments twice in there. And then in February of 49, he has the car crash. Well, in 50, 51, 52, and 53, those 4 years, he never played more than 6 tournaments in a season. He's played a total of 19 tournaments in 4 years. Won 10 of those 19 tournaments, including 6 of the 9 major championships he played. So he sort of has the blueprint for doing this. That said, Hogan was almost a decade younger than Tiger when he was doing this.
And, you know, certainly the difference now is obviously we're a lot better at putting people back together and getting people back in shape. Yeah. But what are you hearing? You said you're hearing that he's stronger out there. Is there anything from the game standpoint that makes you think, Ron, that not only is he stronger, but he can really compete this week?
Well, yeah, what I like, and I definitely saw it at the Masters, and, I saw indications of this even before the car crash, was that Tiger was – finally, his ego was letting him develop an old man's game. I don't think he realizes he's no longer the longest hitter out there, not even close to it. And I think he's focusing more on keeping the ball in play, hitting greens, and then making putts, and playing that way. And it took him a long time. I thought when he won the Masters 2019 that he played that final round a very Jack Nicklaus-like way of playing golf, which is make the other people make mistakes. Just wait them out. Don't make mistakes. Let them play. So I think if he continues to manage his game that way, and we know how good his shot-making is around the greens, that he can very well put himself in contention. What he can't do anymore is overpower golf courses.
Ron Cyrak, tremendous writer, contributes to the Golf Channel. You can follow him on Twitter at Ron Cyrak, S-I-R-A-K. Ron, I actually find this guy more interesting now than when he was at the top of the golf world 5, 6, 7 years ago. Jordan Spieth. One hole, he's an elite golfer, and the next hole, he's tin cup on the range. This guy's fascinating to me right now. Nearly wins last week, yet he's changing his putting style 3 different times during the round. Sometimes he's looking at the hole, sometimes he's not. If he wins the PGA, wins the career Grand Slam, and you figure he's going to have a lot of cracks at it, I find Spieth, current day Jordan Spieth, fascinating. I've never seen an elite player tinker with his swing more during a round than Spieth is right now.
Yeah, what's amazing is for a guy who's still in his 20s, this is his 6th attempt at the career Grand Slam. That's sort of remarkable. And, there's a lot of reason to be hopeful about what he's doing. He's playing very, very consistent golf right now, except what we're seeing him is that he throws in 1 or 2 or 3 head-scratching bad shots or missed putts at the absolute wrong time in virtually every tournament that he plays. He had every chance to win win in Dallas over the weekend and let that get away from him. I think that he would be – he's probably the best story that could be there this week other than Tiger. It would be Spieth doing it. I do think that he I do think that he's going to get back to winning majors, but it's a race between him and Rory McIlroy to see who's going to end there. McIlroy's now gone 8 years without winning a major. Spieth's gone 6 years without winning a major, and both of those, I don't understand how that can possibly be. They're both way too good for that to happen.
Well, you led me right to my next question, because I'm looking at the odds, and only Scheffler and Rahm have lower odds than Rory McIlroy. And Ron, quite frankly, I don't know how you can put Rory McIlroy at 14-1. I don't trust him. Do you?
No, and you know, he's put at 14-1 because of the incredible ability that he has. But you know, I don't know what's more amazing to me, that you know, he won his first major when he was 21 years old. But he's won his last of his four majors 8 years ago. You know, I think I've said this to you before. What astounds me about McIlroy is with a wedge in his hand, he's like a seven handicap out there. You know, how does he not get better at that shot? That used to be the case with Dustin Johnson. And then Dustin Johnson had that six-month hiatus from the game. And it was clear that he went out and he worked just on his wedge play, and he came back and started winning tournaments by the bucketfuls then. But McIlroy's never gotten better at that. And oh, by the way, he's also one of those guys who seems to miss that 5-footer at exactly the wrong time all the time. But, you know, you look at it coming in, John Rahm's the number one player in the world, Scottie Scheffler's the hottest player in the world, and McIlroy is the most head-scratching player in the world.
Well, and I'll tell you, I think Lexi Thompson's got a little bit of Rory, too, from 140 in the middle of the fairway, because, you know, they arguably the two best ball strikers in the world, but they're seven handicaps from 150 and in, and yet they're both right. Elite talents. Okay, top two or three, the PGA used to be, now when it was in August, but the PGA used to be the breakthrough major place where the guy who's never won a major before could go and get his first. All right. Don't know if that's still the case, but top two or three on your mind, Ron, in which, you know what, if this guy wins his first major this week, it wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah. You know, I mean, we did sit at the PGA a couple of years ago with Colin Morikawa get his breakthrough there, but I wouldn't be surprised if Victor Hovland won. I wouldn't be surprised if Cam Smith won. I wouldn't be surprised if Will Zalatoris won. I mean, those are people who I think are going to have a major championship on their resume at some point.
What are your expectations for Tiger? What are reasonable expectations this week for Tiger Woods?
Well, I think they would be similar to the Masters, to make the cut. But unless his stamina has improved enormously since early April, and it could very well have, because, man, if there's one thing I know about the guy, he works hard. But we saw that he just ran out of gas. You know, I don't think sometimes, you know, we get into this thing about are golfers really athletes, and I don't think that people appreciate as much as they should how hard it is to play 72 holes of stroke play golf, four consecutive days of stroke play golf. It's physically and emotionally exhausting, and we saw it with Tiger at the Masters. So the reasonable expectation is that he makes a cut and then can't hang in there on the weekend. That said, nothing that he does will surprise me.
Ron, you know the inner workings of golf very well. This is the great unknown, but I'm going to ask you to throw in your two cents. I think we all think we know what's going to happen in the next 3 weeks. A bunch of guys are going to go play that LIV tour. The PGA Tour is going to suspend them. It's just a matter of how long the suspension's going to be. There's going to be lawsuits. It's going to get ugly. But what I think interest Miller and Moulton is, what does the USGA do? What does the RNA do? Right now, you can be suspended by the PGA Tour, but if you're qualified for the US and Open Championships, you can still play in them. Do you think the USGA and the RNA will essentially get in cahoots with the PGA Tour, Or will they say, well, no, actually, you can't play the tournaments before and after us, but you can play us?
I don't think that they will. I don't think that they will get in cahoots with the PGA Tour on this, because you don't have to be a member of the PGA Tour to qualify for any of the major championships. You know, they all have their own qualifying standards. Certainly, both the U.S. Open and the British Open pride themselves in being opens. You know, it's the one that the beer distributor can play his way into. And I think that they're never going to do anything to take away that identity. So I think the major championships will still be open to people who aren't members of the PGA Tour. You know, that said, I'm surprised Commissioner Jay Monahan took a stronger line than I thought he was going to take. He just essentially said, no, we're not giving releases to this. And what we're still seeing right now is that most of the players who publicly said that they want to play are all players whose careers is pretty much in their rearview mirror. Lee Westwood, Ian Poulter, even Sergio Garcia. I heard the other day that Ricky Fowler said he's thinking about it. Well, Ricky Fowler hasn't done too much the last 3 years either, and all of a sudden guaranteed money might be looking pretty good. But we haven't seen that pivotal player, the player that would make it really hard for the PGA Tour to suspend, that big name, you know, top 20 player in the world, and then see how the PGA Tour reacts to them. Right now, the players that they would be suspending are players that they really don't care if they lose.
Ron Cyrak, enjoy your week covering the PGA, and we look forward to talking again, Ron. Be well.
Talk to you down the road, my friends.
Ron Cyrak, great writer, contributes to the Golf Channel. Follow him on Twitter, Ron Cyrak, S-I-R-A-K. Mark, just going to throw this out there, and you and I are not lawyers, and we haven't slept in a Holiday Inn Express lately. But the reason why I think the majors are not going to join forces with the PGA Tour is if they get in cahoots with them, then they're getting sued too. All right, and I think they're going to sit it out and go, no. You guys battle it out. We ain't getting involved in this.
Well, and I think Ron's point's there too. They're open championships. They really set themselves up by trying to suspend people to an open championship and adhere to what the PGA Tour is wanting to do. So I don't think they will do anything either. By the way, Tiger Woods 50-1 for the PGA.
Last time the PGA was at Southern Hills 15 years ago, Tiger Woods won it. Now, they redesigned the course 3 years ago. They've shaved off a lot of the rough around many a green. So and they added 300 yards to it. It's a bit of a different course. But he did win the last time they played a major here.
Just something to keep in mind as he's going out at 50-1. PGA should be terrific this week. Eduardo Encina covers the Lightning for the Tampa Bay Times. He will join us next. Keith Smith also in the 8 o'clock hour right here on the Florida Sports Network.